There's a verse in Hebrews 12 that I'd just like to call your attention to, and then a verse in Proverbs 5. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me take the opportunity to say thank you to all the staff that have taken care of us while we've been here this week. Wherever it's been, in the boathouse, in the dining room, in the office, housekeepers, everyone. It's been so good to get everything that we needed. And thank you for the groundsmen, too, that throw out the garbage and clean up around here and make camp look good and take care of us in so many ways. I'm thankful for that and for your kindness, all of you. The guests that have had to endure the whole week, thank you for your kindness and your prayers and your love. And Joyce and I leave right after the meeting this morning, Lord willing, and able replacements are coming up. And no matter who comes or goes, the Lord's still here. He doesn't ever go. That's a good thing. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And so you continue to pray for us. We have a week of child evangelism in our church this week, starting today. I'll miss that, but we're going to different parks in the neighborhood. Three different parks with a group of, I guess they're called missionaries, that are coming to help us and to try to reach the kids in the community for the Lord. And then right after that, we have Vacation Bible School soon after that, and there again to try to let our light shine for Jesus. And how we need his fire, we need his Holy Spirit, because without him, we're lost. I think I can make the kids happy. I think we can give them enough snacks and stuffed crafts. I think they'll enjoy it all. But if they don't get it, the point of the whole Vacation Bible School, why we've failed, and I don't want to fail the Lord. And so we pray for one another. That God will continue to work in us, and we'll be praying for camp. We do that at home, just as we do while we're here, pray every day for camp, for what God is doing here, and we'll continue to do that until the bitter end, or until the glorious end, that God will continue to manifest himself. So thank you. Thank you for your kindness. It's in here someplace. Could I just read from the beginning? No, I won't. Let me read from my verse. There it is. It's verse 10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. That's the part that I actually was all ready, you know. I finished all my Bible lessons, the ones that we had in the morning all last week from John 11, no more John 11. I could have gotten a few more out of there, but I thought, well, different group, let's stop with that. What are we going to do this morning? And so last night when I came back, I thought, well, I know what we could do. And then the Lord just changed all that again. And here there's this little thought that the Lord disciplines us so that we might be holy, that we might share in his holiness. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Yes. Holiness unto the Lord. And how many times at camp we hear about holiness, being separate from sin or the world, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's almost kind of like by definition, to live a holy life, it's needful that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that only make sense? Yes. Holy lives are lived in the power by the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And we had mentioned during the course of last week a few times, the Holy Spirit has been given and poured out upon us not only for a spiritual burst of energy, Not only for a spiritual plane to live on, thank God for that, But the Holy Spirit is just to help you live every single day a very practical life, and you can't do that unless you live it in the Spirit. That's why those suggestions or things that Kyle Eidelman mentions in his book that I passed on to some of you that were here, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then different ones in his congregation wrote different things, so practical. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Sister Dolores reiterated one last night, I could forgive my father by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can, by the power, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have an idea that it's the power of the Holy Spirit, and the only power of the Holy Spirit is to tell me to speak in tongues, you've missed the boat. Why, thank God for speaking in tongues. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. But much more than that, and much greater than that, I might add, is to enable us to walk with Him in white, to live an overcoming life, to live for Jesus every day, live in the Spirit. And to that end, you know, we could actually say, and it wasn't in Eidelman's book, but maybe it's in your book, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I've been enabled to take the discipline of the Lord and the instruction and the correction that the Lord allows me so that I can be holy. And if I'm not willing to receive that from Him, how am I going to be made holy? That I might share in His holiness is why He disciplines and corrects and instructs. And if you read the whole section there, and the writer is talking to the Christians about the Lord's discipline, and whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And then he says, no chastening for the present seems joyous. I've been disciplined. I'm still disciplined. And I'm learning to be glad for it. But when I was younger, I never thought, your father and mother ever tell you, this hurts me more than you? I don't believe that. He's got the stick or whatever it might be. And he's clubbing the daylights out of me, telling me, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I'm thinking, give me the stick and I'll let you. It doesn't hurt you. Well, I understand now as a father, I understand that a little bit. I understand that. I heard a father recently, overheard a father recently, speaking to one of his children. And he said to them, I know that when you're with your mom, they don't live together. But I know you can do anything there. But I can't let you do that. I can't let you do that in my house because I love you too much to let you do what you want to do. And we get that reverse sometimes. Why, if you love me, you'd let me do anything I want to do. If you loved me, you wouldn't say no to me. Why, how could you say no to me if you love me? You don't understand. The reason why I say no is because I love you. How could I not say no to you or discipline or correct you or reprove you? How could I not do that? And God says to us as His children, I do that because I want you to share in my holiness. I want you to live a holy life. I want you to be holy like I'm holy. I want you to be separate like I'm separate. And you to your own self don't get it. You don't get it. You don't understand it. And I try to tell you, and you don't listen when I try to tell you because you're stubborn. We sang, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Anybody have a stubborn will? You don't have to raise your hands. I mean, rhetorically. We all do. We all do. I want what I want, and I want it now, and don't you dare cross my path, because if you do, I won't like you anymore. Well, sometimes we take that out on the Lord. I'm glad that the only one I have to listen to is the Lord. I don't have to listen to my parents, because they're not the Lord. I don't have to listen to anybody that's over me, because they're not the Lord. I only listen to the Lord. But the Lord says, obey your parents. So if you listen to the Lord, I guess you're listening to that too, aren't you? Because He's the one that said it. Your mom didn't tell you. She didn't make that up. But the Lord did. And the Bible says, obey those. I think it's in the next chapter. It might be in the 13th chapter. Obey your leaders, verse 17, 13, 17. There it is. Obey your leaders. You mean I got to obey Brother Paul while I'm here at camp? He's not even here at camp. I don't got to obey him. He's not here. I have to obey them. They're over me in the Lord. I have to listen to what they do. I don't want to listen to them. And I don't think I need to. I don't want to. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Because they're watching for you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. They watch for your souls. Is it still hanging on the palace when you walk into the dining room before you go up the flight of steps? There's a wall motto there. Is it still there? I think it says something about they cared for my soul, something like that. That's there. They cared for my soul. There are people that God has put over us in the Lord, and they care for our souls, and they watch for our souls. And sometimes they tell us things that we don't like to hear and that we don't like to do, but they don't do it out of a mean spirit. They don't do it out of a nasty streak. They're trying to watch for your soul. As those that must give an account, that they may do it with joy. There are a lot of things that in this year, even this year, there are some things I didn't understand about camp even. I questioned. Not because I didn't want to obey, or I just wanted to understand if I could. And so I asked. I said, why? I don't understand this. I don't understand the rationale, the reason. I don't understand this. Can you help me? I was talking to two of the other ministers in the church, in the fellowship. And so we sat there and we talked a little bit. And after we discussed and talked, I understood. I never saw it that way. I never got it. But after speaking with them, okay, it didn't really affect me or change me or matter to me. But I understand now. I understand, and I agree that that's a good thing. That's a good discipline. That's a good thing that you have to obey that while here at camp. I understand, and there are a lot of things like that, I suppose. And I'm not just camp, but at home and in your home and in your church and in your life. And in your school and wherever it might be, God gives us those who correct and discipline so that we might share in his holiness. And that's something that I need to remember. Lord, you want me to be changed. You're trying to help me, not hurt me. You do know the way that I take. You do. And you do know what you are leading me into. If you would turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 5. What precipitated all this was those verses that, I don't know if I read them, I don't think I, well, maybe I did, but I at least quoted them last night. And I thought today, just this morning, that maybe it would be good that I just read the context of it. Proverbs chapter 5. Because we talked last night for a little while. I remember I'm on the brink of utter ruin. And maybe you don't know where that all comes from or why that was said. And this isn't the only venue where this is true, but it is true in here. Look what it says. I'm going to read from the first verse. And it's a father speaking to his son. Speaking to his son because fathers often know more than their sons. And maybe have words of wisdom and encouragement for them. And so this father is speaking to his son and says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall. Sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life, but her paths are crooked. But she knows it not. You know, I thought of that. Father telling his son, be careful. Be careful of... Well, in this particular chapter, it's saying, be careful of wicked women, wayward, loose women that live immoral and indecent lives, but would allure and attract and try to tempt you away. And that little clause at the end, that she doesn't even know. She doesn't even realize what she's doing. She doesn't even understand her wicked ways. But my son, watch out. Watch out. You know, that's not only for young men and young women. It's for old men and for old women. It's for married men and for married women. Because I have, and we all have, too many times seen where old men and old women have gone astray. Maybe it would be, well, when I was working, oh, how many years ago was that? I was working as an insurance adjuster for a company, and I was driving my company car, and I was going into Manhattan, and I saw brother so-and-so's vehicle. I recognized it because it was very recognizable. It was a business truck that he was driving. And so, and he was an older guy. And so I thought, you know, I want to catch up to him and see if I can catch up to his truck and say, hi, what are you doing here? We had just gone over the Williamsburg Bridge into Manhattan, and I was heading to a certain location to take a statement from someone, and I don't know where he was going, but I figured, let me catch up to him. And I couldn't get him in time, but I tried to, and I got behind him, and I got nearer to him, and then he went down a certain block, and I was following him down that certain block, and all of a sudden he stopped his car, and a lady that didn't have enough clothes on got into the front seat of his car. And my heart dropped. And I thought, that's brother, and I won't mention his name. That's brother. He goes to Ridgewood Pentecostal Church for years. For years. Now, that's no aspersion on Ridgewood Pentecostal Church. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what your affiliation or denomination or church or pastor or whatever it may be. And so I didn't want to catch him anymore. I didn't want to say, hi, brother. Who's that in the front seat of your car? But I did follow him. And I did watch he and she get out and go into some dump someplace down in lower Manhattan. And brokenhearted. And very sad. I performed the funeral for that man. I didn't know what to say. I just trust that God dealt with him. So you understand. The instructions are given by God. Why does God say to us what he says? And it's for all of us. I'm a pastor of a church. And even as pastor of a church, there are women that are not good. There are women that would do whatever they could do to get under your skin. And it's not just me, that's the way the world is. I was getting hot dogs in Coney Island, I'm famous for that. I got coupons. You want a coupon? You want a Coney Island hot dog? 99 cents. You get two of them for 99 cents. That's $2, two hot dogs. Not a bad deal. I've been doing this for a lot of years now. And a long time ago, I was in my company car. And I was down in Coney Island. And I went through there. It's right off the Bell Parkway. And so it's convenient. And I had my coupon. And I got my hot dogs. And I was sitting in my car there on Surf Avenue, if you know where that is. And I was eating my hot dogs. And boom, the next thing I knew, my passenger door was open and somebody jumped in the front seat of my car. And I didn't want that person there, and I didn't invite her to come into my car, and I didn't want her in there. I wanted her out of there. And then she didn't want to go. And, you know, how do you get someone out of your car? You guys are dragging them out. It was to make a long story short, she left. But that's what this is all about. You see, it's practical. But he wants to teach us to stay away from certain vices or temptations for our own good. For our own good. There are neighborhoods and streets that you shouldn't walk down. There are people that you shouldn't hang around with. There are places that you shouldn't go all by yourself. Oh, but you don't know, I'm a Christian and I went to camp. And I served on staff and I preached from behind the pulpit, so I'm like impregnable, invulnerable. Except, again, in our own fellowship, I can tell you about the girl that got pregnant before she was married. Two super saints in the church as kids. How does it happen? Oh, well, it just happens. In the church it happened. I'm thankful for Brother Edwin. He was my teacher. And Brother Edwin, you know, the last thing you would think about Brother Edwin is that he would be concerned about these kind of things, but he would teach us as young ministers. You should never be in the church by yourself with a woman there. You should never be there. And then he'd said to us, not because you don't trust her, but because you don't trust yourself. What? But, you know, trust me. Oh, you never know. See, there are warnings that the Bible gives to us. And sometimes we know better. We don't need this correction, this instruction. We don't need this. I don't need this. What do I need this for? I know myself. Well, maybe you don't know yourself well enough. And besides that, Brother Edwin then went on to tell us about the appearance of evil. What does the neighbor think? Well, I don't care what the neighbor thinks. Nothing's. Well, the Bible says you better should care about what the neighbor thinks. While I'm talking about Brother Edwin, there was a store on Jamaica Avenue right down the block from the Faith Home, or next door to the Faith Home where he lived. And he would like to, Brother Edwin liked science, liked electronics. And when he was, you know, in his heyday, it wasn't as intricate as it is now. He was probably talking about radios with tubes in them or something like that. But he'd go down to the store and there was a magazine, maybe it's still on the market, I don't know, Omni Magazine, is that still something that you can buy? And it was it talked about all this engineering, electronic stuff, and he would never buy the magazine, but he would always look through it. And, you know, see what the latest and the greatest and the new stuff was, and so he would look at that stuff, and he told us in morning worship, he said, I can't do that anymore, and the reason why I can't do that anymore is because the proprietor of that store moved the magazines around, and right next to Omni magazine and the science magazines were the Playboy magazines and the wicked stuff and the immoral stuff, right next to them. And so Brother Edmund, you'd say, well, this is crazy. He's over the top. He's nuts. He said, you know, I didn't go there anymore to take that magazine down because it's pretty close to the other magazines. And I'm sitting there thumbing through these magazines. And what would happen, and he mentioned the lady who lived next door to him, what would happen if she saw me reaching for that magazine, looking through the magazine, came into the store 3 days later and saw where I was reaching and said, oh, wow, I thought he was a pastor. And he's reading that? Oh, he's reading Omni. But I wonder if that appearance, you know, these are the instructions. Why? Because we want to share in his holiness. And these things get pretty practical, maybe too practical, maybe too down to earth. But again, the pathway to heaven is littered and strewn with lives that are broken and destroyed, because they would not hear the chastening of the Lord. Because when they were reproved, they balked at the reproof. And the Holy Spirit has been given so that you might love his reproof. That's why the Holy Ghost. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's why the Holy Spirit, one reason why. And so getting back to Proverbs chapter 5. Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Now, let me just stop and say, I'm not just referring to prostitutes. But I don't know, but there are those people that you need to stay far from. Stay far from them. Stay far from them, my son. Lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth. You know what that means in 2013 terms? Lest you wind up having to pay through the nose for child support and alimony. For those who aren't even in your own family. Those who don't live under your roof. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and your body are spent. In verse 12, here it is. You will say one day when you get old and decrepit and you look back and you see and you look at your life, one day you will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers. I would not listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. I'm thankful that the Lord put words like this into the Bible. And there are a lot of other ones like this, similar in nature, with different scenarios surrounding them. You could do the same thing and find verses like this that talk about money and the love of money, which is the root of all evil, and some, having coveted after it, have wandered and strayed from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In Babylon, in Revelation 18, what's in there? Well, they got all the spices and the nards and the ointments and the perfumes and the ivory and the souls of men. And the Lord warns us and speaks to us, if you have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And if you have a heart that the Holy Spirit has been able to make soft and work over, why then these instructions and these words of wisdom from the Bible, that's what Proverbs is. Someone instructed us when we were younger to read the Proverbs every day, read a chapter from Proverbs. Just read a chapter. It's not bad advice. Proverbs are good to know, to learn, to think about, to meditate on these things. Why does it say this about my words, about what I speak, what I say, where I go, what I do? Why so much correction? Because sheep are dumb. Because sheep roam the wrong way by natural inclination, turn every one to his own way. And so the shepherd tries to steer them into the path of righteousness, of holiness. And sometimes the sheep are more obstreperous, some more than others. And the shepherd needs to take that crook and grab him by the neck and yank him back into the way. So sometimes it gets a little more even sterner than that, where it's almost like here's the 2x4, whack. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, that we might share in his holiness. Father, we thank you this morning that we never outgrow correction. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to lean to my own understanding. Prone to figuring out in a better way. Prone to thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. Prone to feel I'm able and capable. And yet realizing, really, if I thought it through, that in my own strength but weakness I see. Realizing that without you I can do nothing. And I need to take heed to myself lest I fall. Having been brought out of the miry clay, having you as my guide, having tasted that heavenly manna and feeding upon it, drinking water from that rock, and that rock is Christ. Yet, Lord, never entering in, always insisting on our own way. But Father, we pray this morning that you would so fill us with the Holy Spirit that it would get past our emotions and our feelings and get down deeper into our will and our desires. And that, Lord, we would be holy. Holiness unto the Lord. Lord, again, we pray that as you speak to us from your word, as we meditate and give ourselves wholly to these things, that we might profit thereby. My son, my daughter, hear, hear, listen. Give me, Lord, give me an ear to hear. Dear Lord, teach me. Show me the things of which I am unconscious. Lord, put your finger now upon my heart. Lord, lest I grieve the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, take those things from me, Lord, that would hinder the glory of God from being manifest in my life. And do that in every one of us, Lord. Lord, do that in every one of us. Your ways are best. You see the road ahead. Lord, as Brother Josh said, we have an idea. We think we know. But Lord, you really do, and you're proactive. Lord, and we're not. We're reactive. And we get ourselves into such a mess sometimes. And then we have to react, and we have to live with the consequences of our choices. But Lord, help us to have the sense, the good sense, to follow your word implicitly, understanding why, Lord, maybe I'll never understand some things, but just help me to do them, that you may be glorified. Help all of us. We thank you for it. Amen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, 390, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. 390, verse 2. Let's stand together. Not a shadow can rise.
Trust and all. you'll be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Now, I'm proud of myself. You're not allowed to be, but I am. That this is the first meeting, I think, and the only meeting since I've been at Pilgrim Camp that I've kept overtime. 2 minutes over. So I can't even pay you back 2 minutes and let you go 2 minutes early, but I'm glad that I was pretty good all week. And so, Brother Tom, dismiss us, please, in prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for your call. We thank you for your chastening.
Yes.
We pray help us to turn at your reproof, that you may pour out your Spirit unto us, that you may make known your words unto us. Thank you so much, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Continue to let these words be hid in our heart.
Yes.
That we not sin against thee.
Yes.
Help us to love you. Help us to have your commandments and keep them.
Yes.
Oh, God, that we might show and live the way of loving you.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Help me, Lord.
And we know you'll manifest yourself to us. Your longing, you showed your disposition to come to us by sending your Son to die for us, and Lord, we want to say yes.
Yes.
We want to follow.
Yes.
Oh God, in your way, oh God, help us not to be led away into temptation, but to walk this straight and narrow way that you've carved out for us with your own blood, oh God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. See you again.